Okay, let's get started. This is Confession of Faith, week 4, and today we are in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, and we confess today the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ. The humiliation and the exaltation of Christ, and you'll see that in the passage. It's a beautiful passage, a great reminder of what Jesus did in order to save us, and who Jesus is now as the exalted Lord of heaven. I'll pray, and then we'll look at the passage. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus Christ, for what he did for us, for your glory. Thank you for what he's doing in our lives, bringing glory to you through his work in us and in his church in this world. We're so thankful. It's in Christ we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians 2. And for these short videos, weekly confession of faith, you know I'm taking things out of their context, trusting that you'll go back and read it and study it in its context to get the full impact. But today, Philippians 2, and we'll start, I said verse 6, I believe. We'll start in verse 5, because that's where the sentence begins. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. In other words, this mindset belongs to you, who've been united to Jesus. This mindset is yours in Christ Jesus. Who, talking about Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. That's talking about the eternal sonship of Christ. God the Son from all eternity is God, was God, but he didn't see that as something to grasp. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. What that's talking about is very simply, and the passage elaborates on exactly what that means, is he didn't stay in heaven. He didn't see staying in heaven as his top priority. Let's see, scrolling down. But, see, this is where we understand the meaning of that and what Paul puts it in contrast to. Okay, but rather, he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Any kind of interpretation of this phrase right here, emptied himself, that defines what that phrase means by something other than what comes right after it, run away from that interpretation. Run away from arbitrary, speculative, philosophical interpretations of this phrase, emptied himself. It tells us exactly what it means. He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. The eternal Son of God became a man. He was conceived supernaturally in the womb of Mary and became a man. Still fully God, yet now fully man, the incarnation of the Son of God. He emptied himself. What does that mean? He took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself. And so when I said earlier, we're talking about the humiliation and exaltation of Christ, that's where that comes from. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is talking about his redemptive work on earth, right? His incarnation to become a man, yet still fully God, his righteous life, his earthly ministry, and his sacrificial death on the cross. All of that is under this umbrella of the humiliation of Christ. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Why? That's what his Father sent him to do, to redeem a people for God. So when you hear the humiliation of Christ, don't think about that word humiliation in a worldly sense, as if he was embarrassed about something, or he did something that he didn't mean to do and put his foot in his mouth, and so he kind of humiliated himself. That's the way we use that word. But what that means when we talk about Christ and say the humiliation of Christ, all that that means is this, his self-humbling. He humbled himself. He lowered himself. He left heaven, came to earth, lived in this world under the curse of sin and death, under the law, as a man, subject to the weakness of humanity, yet without sin. He humbled himself as a servant in order to do the Father's will and to save a people from their sins. Okay, so he humbled himself, the humiliation of Christ. But, and you see, of course, obviously here, the climactic self-humbling, the climactic serving, the climactic suffering here, death on a cross, shedding his blood for the remission of sins. Therefore, right, obediently doing what the Father sent him to do, therefore God has highly exalted him. Okay, so I'll highlight that too. I'm getting a little out of hand with these highlights, but it's important. There's no method to the madness of the colors I'm picking. I just click on it and whatever color I feel like clicking, I highlight. God has highly exalted him. So this is the next phase of his redemptive work, the humiliation of Christ and the exaltation of Christ. The cross is not the end of the story. It's the climax of the story, but it's not the end. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Christ. So his self-humbling and then God highly exalting him, the exaltation of Christ. And this is what we profess as Christians. We profess Christ as Lord. We profess the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ, his suffering unto glory, is another way that Scripture says that. And this is redemptive. This is redemptive. This is how he saves. And so if you are saved today, that cannot happen apart from the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, well, you knew I was going to do this one. What happened? But at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess, just in case you didn't understand the thrust of every, which means every knee should bow. It's every knee in every location, every knee imaginable, every knee, every created being in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that right there, Jesus Christ as Lord, was week one confession of faith, the fundamental, the most basic Christian confession. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not just admitting that that is true, not just checking the box that you agree with that, but that you can say truly and genuinely from your heart, Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. He is my Savior. He died for my sins, and I've turned from my sins because I've sinned against God, and yet he shed his blood for me. This is a saving faith, a spirit-wrought, genuine trusting in Christ, loving Christ, cherishing Christ, living for Christ. And what I'm saying here is at the center of that is this confession, Jesus Christ is Lord. But if you expand that and look at the context, how did he get to be there? Humiliation, exaltation, a self-humbling, and then God highly exalting him as he completed his work. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'll say one last thing about this and pray, and this will be yours to springboard for your own study, whether it's by yourself or with your family or small group. What that's getting at there in verse 10 is this, that this truth of Christ as Lord is unavoidable, and everyone will have to come to grips with and come into contact with this reality in one way or another. Submit to his lordship now by faith and be saved, or submit to his lordship in the future when he returns, and that will not be to be saved. That will be as you come under judgment and come face to face with this reality, the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is Christian worldview 101, biblical worldview 101. If you were to ask, what is the defining reality of the world that we live in? There's many different possible ways you could start. You could say God exists or God created the world. I think it would be this: Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. He's the returning King, the returning Judge. But today is the day of salvation. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father, we say that. It's for God's glory, not our glory, that we say that. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his mercy and his power and his spirit and his promises and his presence. Father, we thank you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for joining me again, and I'll see you next week, Confession of Faith, week number 5. Bye.